discover the inherent power of God in you.
Whether there are challenges or not, we are still the same. We are constant. God is constant. God does not change. And that is the life that we have received. It says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the same life we have also received. We are also the same yesterday, today, and forever. What kind of life? We are the same because we have the same life with Christ. So when you think about God, think about you. Because everything He is, that is why He told Abraham, He said, I am your exceeding great reward. God gave Himself as a reward to Abraham. And we are the seed of Abraham. Therefore, we have inherited God Himself.
Listen to Pastor Oti Boateng as Christ is magnified in you.
Hallelujah. You may kindly take your seat in heavenly places where you belong. Well, you are all welcome to church. For those of you who are in first day and are here, you are welcome. It's a very big church by the grace of God. This is just one place. There are a number of places that are all over, and I'm sure as the days go by, you get to know about all of them. Hallelujah. So you are welcome. And, you know, when Ome was talking, I remembered when she came to first year. We met in Kumasi, not here, because she went to KNUST for her first degree. So I just remember, as we were talking, I just remember, I was like, hey, God has been good. Wow. The first day I met she and her sisters, they were all in contact. I don't know if you remember. Yeah, her own was green. The other one was blue. And another one was red. I tell you, it was wild, I tell you. What a blessing. Yeah. So I'm sharing with you on what the house of God offers you. Since this is your first time in church for some of you, I just felt like, you know, the Lord was leading me to share along this line. Yeah. What the house of God offers you. What the house of God, that's what, offers you. What do you get by coming, by being around, by staying around? Do you get something out of it? If you do, what do you get out of it? You see, all of us have been in first year before. I've been in first year. How many of you have left school? Those of you who have left school, you can give me a wave. How many of you are not in first year? You're in school, but you're not in first year. Okay. Most of our people have gone on vacation, eh? The third, second, third years have gone on vacation. No, because an exam still is happening. Okay. You know, so we've been to school. I mean, I was in first year 20 years ago. Yes, 2004. But when I also went to first year, 20 years ago, it's not a shock. I'm feeling very old right now, I tell you. But I was young. I was just 17 years old when I went to school. And I didn't know my left from my right. You know, just like you don't know yours as well. But someone always needs to guide you. You need to be guided, you know. So God is giving you the opportunity to be guided, you know, through this church. Hallelujah. If you read in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, look at 1 Timothy 3:15. Now, you may not be in first year. Some of us are workers, doctors, lawyers, and all of that here. But the message is still for you as well, to help you know what you get. So you can be in church, and you've been around for a long time, but you don't know what you get by being around. I just want to mention something to you. He says, but if I tarry long, this is Paul talking, he says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. He says, I'm going for a meet. Paul was talking to Timothy. He says, if I should keep long in coming to where you are. Paul was in another place. Timothy was in a place called Ephesus. Do you see? And he wrote to him and told him that if I should keep long, I'm writing to you so that you may know how you have to behave yourself in the house of God. He calls the church the house of God. Then he says, which is the church of the living God? The word church means called out ones. Ecclesia, it means the called out ones. So God has called all of us and has put us together into a family. He says, which is the church of the living God? The pillar, the church is the pillar, is the holding base and the covering roof of the truth, of the reality. Okay, it's a place where, you see, truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm the life. Jesus is truth. Okay, Jesus is what? Jesus is reality. The Bible says grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Truth is the truth that you need to hear is grace. That's in John chapter 1. Look at John chapter 1. Can you show us grace and truth came? Verse 4. It says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Have you seen it? He's talking about Jesus, and he says that grace and truth, okay, are together. They say, for the law is given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who brought grace and truth. If you've noticed, truth is on the side of grace, not on the side of the law. It says, for the law is given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the one, is a revelation of God's grace, which is God's truth. God's truth is grace. And the expression of God's grace is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the expression of God's grace to mankind. I hope you understand. So what I'm trying to say is that the church is the base, is the, go back to that place in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, says it is the pillar and the ground of the truth. It is the holding base or the foundation. And what holds up the truth? The reality of God. So church offers you the opportunity to get to know Jesus. That's one of the main things. Okay? To get to know Jesus. And the first point I've written here as to what the house of God does for you, okay, is spiritual education. Church is for the purpose of educating you spiritually. Okay? Say spiritual education. There's physical education, there's mental education, and then there's spiritual education. Okay? For instance, if you are in school now, those of you who are in school, you are there to educate yourself mentally, isn't it? Even that one is along a particular line. If you are doing zoology, mention zoology. If you are doing zoology, you are going to be learning about animals, isn't it? You may not know anything about the human liver or the human heart, how to work on it. So our education is actually limited to a particular aspect. Or it's limited to a particular aspect. You get to know something in life. It's actually not complete mental education. For instance, they will not teach you about marriage, for instance. All the most important things are not, forgive me, I know you just came to first year, I'm not trying to make you an ampedu. Do you know an ampedu? Ampere education. Someone who doesn't like education. I'm not trying to let you become someone who doesn't like education, but I'm just trying to open your mind up a bit more. Do you see? Marriage, they will not teach you about marriage. They will not teach you about how to handle money. They will not teach you how to make money, first of all. And they will not teach you how to manage the money when you make it. Even if you are doing accounting. Even if you are doing accounting, they will not tell you how to do that. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So it's powerful. School is very important. It's important. But then there are other things that God will have you also learn at the same time so that you can be a total man at the end of the day. Do you get it? You can be a total human being at the end of the day. So spiritual education is there to help you to become complete. If you read in we are in 1 Timothy. Now, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's read verse 8. Paul says, for bodily exercise profits little. You see, there's bodily exercise or bodily training, physical training. Have you ever gone to the gym? He's talking about going to the gym, trying to get a V-chest, six-pack, one-pack. Those of us who are into one-pack, we are also there. You know, he's letting you know that you can exercise yourself physically. Then he says it has some profit. For bodily exercise profits little. It has profit. Even though it's little, it's still important. You should exercise. Tell neighbor you should exercise. Tell the other neighbor you should exercise. Ask your neighbor, when was the last time you exercised? Tell anybody, it's not a trick question. It's not a trick question. I'm just asking. I want to know. Priscilla, when was the last time you exercised? When was the last time? Last week. It's too far. You should be exercising every week. On a regular. So bodily exercise is profitable. Okay? It's very important. Then it says, but godliness. Let's read the Amplified so we understand what it's saying even some more. For physical training is of some value. It's useful for a little. But godliness, then he puts into bracket, he tries to explain what godliness means. He says spiritual training or spiritual education. Do you see? Spiritual training is useful and of value in everything and in every way. Is useful and of value. Training yourself spiritually is useful and is of value in everything and in every way. So it will help you in your academics. Spiritual training will help you in your academics. Or you don't understand everything. It's useful and of value in every... How many of you understand everything? Everything means everything, right? Everything means everything without nothing included. It's useful and of value in everything and in every way. You want to start a business, you need spiritual training. Yeah? You want to get good grades, you need spiritual training. Because you can be learning anything. You know, I studied chemistry. I have 2 degrees by the grace of God. My first degree was chemistry, pure chemistry. I did analytical. The thing, what you run away from, that is what I ran to by the grace of God. Yeah? Pure chemistry, analytical chemistry, quantum chemistry, organic chemistry. Organic chemistry is something people don't like at all. That was my specialty. I did that one. That was what I did. My research was done in organic chemistry. Yes. Physical chemistry. And I came out with a second class upper. By the grace of God. I can tell you that, listen, if I didn't know Jesus Christ then, it wouldn't have worked. Because by second year, I lost interest in the course. I started asking myself questions. Like, what am I going to do with this thing that I'm doing? Do you understand? By second year, I started asking questions. Carbon bonding and this one. What am I going to do with it in life? So I became a travel and tour agent whilst I was in school. Yes, second year. I organized some people. I'd never been to the Northern Region, but I was able to organize a whole group of 2 buses and took them to the Northern Region, to Burkina Faso, everything. Yes, with a friend. Yes. Went on a trip for 3 days or 4 days and came back. I had lost interest in the school completely because I was asking myself, what am I going to do? Let me do some business and think about myself. I sold yogurts, I sold pen drive, I sold laptop, I sold everything. So, hey, Charlie, it was wild. So, spiritual training is so important. It will help you in your academics. It will help you balance yourself. Do you see? And the house of God is for that purpose. And one of the main things, the first thing that spiritual training does for you is that it exposes you to God's love. So, under spiritual training or spiritual education, you can put a first point under it, which is exposing you to God's love. Okay? The knowledge of God's love. It's so important. If you are a human being who doesn't have a proper understanding of who God is, you have a problem. Okay? Your understanding of God and who He is informs your relationship with Him. I don't know if you get it. Your understanding of Him informs your relationship with Him, which in turn informs how you behave in life. There are a lot of people who have problems with God because they think that the understanding of God is that God does not like them. Especially because of their sin. A lot of people are not in the house of God. They can't stay in the house of God because they are not. They know that correct. How many of you know that you are not correct? Some people think they are correct. Some of you should lift your legs and your hands at the same time. Because, I mean, it's not correct. You are not correct at all. It's wild. If you think that God does not like you, or God has some problems with you, or God is looking at you in a certain way, and God is not in support of you, you see, it will inform your relationship. You will not, I'm not interested in all these God things, whatever. And that will inform how you live. It will show you how you live. Yes. The world partying. Yes. The what? The raves. Dirty rave. Tidal rave. Urban rave. What? Afrochella, Coachella, this one, Chella, this one. It's all because there's some. The definition of enjoyment is even not correct. All the sex all over. What? Aquaba night. There's Aquaba night coming for first year students. Yeah, you go and date before you realize someone has raped you. I remember about, this is about 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, first week of first year, about 4 girls were raped. Yes. And we met 2 of them. I don't know if you remember. Do you remember? It's been a while. Yeah. Because, you know, you remember now. Uh-huh. Like, you feel God does not like you. So you have to stay away from God. Anything apart from God. Do you get it? And your sense of not being accepted leads you into deeper things. From this campus that you have come to, for instance. I mean, if you're a lady, there are cars that are going to park by you very soon. We have people here saying, oh yes, we've had cars parking by them. Oh, yeah. You get sponsorship from all kinds of people. Yeah. Alumni are going to come. Yeah. I tell you. Yeah. For instance, if you're a guy, depending on which kind of group you fall into, you may have to do something. They will encourage you to take drugs outside. Yeah. Everything, you see, university is universal city. Everything is inside. Everything is inside some. I tell you. Everything. So if you are not careful, if you don't get to know how accepted you are with God and how much God likes you and how secured you can be in the Lord, you'll be surprised at how far you will go. You see, if you read in the Bible, in John chapter 3, I just want to explain this to you a bit before I go to the other point, okay? So spiritual education, it's one of the main things you get in the house of God. The house of God offers you spiritual education. Okay? And one of the main cardinal things that spiritual education brings, or one of the things that you're educated about, okay, is your knowledge of God's love. How that God loves you. God does not, you see, what will separate you from God has been dealt with. That's what God came to come and deal with. What separates man from God is sin. And that's exactly what Jesus came to come and die for. John 3:16 says that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus is the expression of God's love into this world. You want to know how much God loves you? Look in the scriptures. You will see that God has already expressed his love by giving us his son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Then he says, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Then the next verse says, you see, you've read John 3:16, you've never read John 3:17, so you don't know exactly what Jesus came for. He says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. You see, you think that God is condemning you. Why do you think God? Because you are not in the light. You may be doing something wrong. Maybe you are watching pornography, you are masturbating, you are sleeping with someone's husband. It's very deep. Or you are, what are you doing? What else are you doing? You are scamming. You are stealing. You are betting. You are smoking. You are a chimney. Your nose is a chimney. You're a hookup person. You are into hookup. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. You see, God is not interested in condemning. You now you are condemned already. He should come and add this condemnation. That is not what he came for. But that the world through him might be saved. Is this too difficult to understand? Ask anybody, is it too difficult to understand? God says, I like you. I love you. What is your problem? So ask a neighbor, what is your problem? God says he likes you. Wow. He says that he's not condemning the world, but he wants the world to be saved through Jesus. The reason why he came is so that you will have salvation, so that your sin will be removed, so that righteousness can be imparted to you, so that you can have peace with God, and so that you can have access to God, and so that you can have the assistance of God. You get it? Yeah. That's the knowledge of you should have that knowledge of God. God is actually interested in assisting you, and he's interested in having a fellowship with you. And the more you fellowship with the Lord, the more you become like him. Yes. They say, show me your friend and I'll show you your character. Isn't it? And so the more you walk with God, the more your character becomes like that of God. Yeah, it's an amazing thing. Yes. You can be conscious of how bad you are. Don't worry, just keep fellowship with God. You'll be surprised that with time, you can't find the badness. Like, where is the bad? All the badness will run away. That's what has happened to all of us. We're all very bad boys and girls. Even this, they're small inside. Ask anybody, is that small inside? But the way to cure the small is not to, like, I'm not a good person. No, stay around. Be around God. You see? Yeah? For God sent on the Son to condemn the world. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And it says, and all these new things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Then it says, to wit that God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. We don't understand. Can we read a lighter version? Trespasses, imputing, we don't understand. For God was in Christ, okay, reconciling, this is NLT, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Have you seen it? God is not counting your sins against you. Jesus Christ came to die for your sins, to remove your sins. The devil is wicked, though. The devil is very, very wicked. The exact thing that God sent his son to come and die for is what he has made a problem between us and God. I don't know if you get it. That's how wicked he is. Yes. God sent Jesus Christ to come and deal with something. What is that thing? Sin. So actually, Jesus has removed sin and taken it away. Romans chapter 5, verse 25. Let's continue reading in the NLT. Okay? It says, Jesus was handed over to die because of what? Because of what? Jesus was handed over to die because of our sins. And he was raised to life to make us right with God. So now you are right. If you have believed in Jesus, the only qualification is for you to accept what Jesus has done for you on the cross. When you accept what God has done for you on the cross through Jesus Christ, that's it. Your sin is removed. Sin does not become a problem between you and God anymore. What prevents people? How did Adam fell because of what? Because of his sin, innit? Jesus came to come and take away sin so that we can be restored. That's why Jesus came. When we say Jesus is the Savior of the world, he's the Savior of the world of sin. So in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says that God commends his love towards us, still in the NLT. He says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. While we're still sinners. So if you think you're a sinner, you are the reason why God sent Jesus Christ to come and die. So sin is not supposed to be a problem between you and God at all. If you get born again, if you're born again, sin is not a problem anymore. Now you are at peace with God. Let me show you a scripture in 1 John. Look at 1 John chapter 4. It's nice. It's all over in the Bible, man. First John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. It says, God showed how much he loved us. How did he show it? By sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. How isn't it? Look at the next verse. To take away our sins. So now there's no problem between you and God. If you are born again, your sins have been taken away. If you are not born again, your sins have been taken away. You need to accept the fact that Jesus is the one who took the sin away. Just believe in him. That's it. When you believe in him, that's it. You are now a child of God. He gives you something called eternal life. You are now acceptable with God. Do you see? So Jesus came to take away sins and to bring something called righteousness or right standing with God. Now God accepts you. Go to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Okay, let's read. You see, there's Romans chapter 4, verse 25. The next verse is Romans chapter 5, verse 1. The Bible was not written in verses and in chapters. They did it like that so that we can easily refer. So I can say Romans chapter 5, verse, for the guy to be able to find it quickly. It used to be a long letter. How are you going to find? Book of Romans is a long letter. We'll have to find. Okay, go to paragraph 75. Page, I mean, it doesn't work. So someone called, he was a cardinal, Hugo. You know, put, I think he did the verses and another person did the chapters. Okay, so let's read chapter 4, verse 25. And then we'll go to the next verse, which is chapter 5, verse 1. Okay, it says Jesus was, it's actually talking about Jesus. Oh. I'm not the one putting the Jesus there. He is Jesus. Or go back. Go to 24. For our benefit, too, assuring us that God will also count us righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. You see? So he's talking about Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Who, he says, he was handed, you get it? So Jesus was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. He was raised to make us right. So understand God's love. What is God's love? God's love is giving his son. For what purpose? To take away sin and to bring in righteousness. When you believe in him, you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do you get it? So now you have right standing. You have right standing with God. You are accepted before God. Next verse. That's chapter 5, verse 1. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Read it again. One to go. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done. So Jesus died on the cross to take away sin, make us right with God. Then he says, therefore, since we are now made right with God, we are now right in God's sight by our faith in Jesus Christ, we have something called peace. There's no more, it's like, a lot of people are afraid of God. Hey! There are a lot of people are afraid of God. They don't want to have any relationship like, hey, I don't have problems, so let me stay away. I don't want problems. I want peace. I don't want problems. Hey! Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. He's the King of Peace and the Prince of Peace. He's the one who has made peace between us and God. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 is showing this. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. Peace about what? Peace between God and man. He's the one who brings peace between God and man. 1 Timothy 2, 5. Let's read even from verse 4. It is nicer from verse 4. It says, who wants everyone? God wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. Verse 5. They says, for there is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. You see, the one who reconciles or the one who brings peace and brings us back to God is the man Christ Jesus. He is our peace. Do you see? Ephesians chapter 2. I can show you 1 million verses about this particular thing. Ephesians chapter 2, let's read verse 14. Look at this. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. Let's read. Go to verse 13 so we can understand it some more. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. Have you seen it? The blood of Jesus Christ is the one that is what brings us to God. Then the next verse says that, for Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people. When in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. Next verse. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. Then it says he made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. Next verse. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means, so he brought both Jews and Gentiles both to God by means of his death on the cross. And our hostility toward each other was put to death. Jesus put to death the hostility between us and God. Or you are not understanding. Yeah. So there's no problem. Tell me about, there's no problem between God and you. Yeah. Look at Isaiah, verse 17. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace the Jews who were near. Next verse, verse 18. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. Have you seen it? So there's no problem between you and God. At all. Tell me, but there's no problem between you and God. You have peace. You and God, you are at peace. Are you understanding? And because we have peace with God, God says that we are now accepted. God likes you. Yeah. God likes you with a lot of a lot of feelings. Yeah, God has a lot of feelings for you, I tell you. Yeah. Tell me about God has a lot of feelings for you. It's an amazing thing. Oh. Yeah. The Bible says God cares for you watchfully and affectionately. Instead of thinking about God, God doesn't like me. God says, I like you. And I care about you with affection. I have affection for you. That's in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. Yeah, chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Let's read the Amplified. The Amplified says, it says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you. God cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. God cares about you affectionately. He has affection for you. Are you a child of God?
Yeah.
If you are born again, God has a great affection for you, I tell you. Yeah, God has great emotions. When you are crying, it affects God. Yeah. Because the boy left you, are crying. It affects the Lord, I tell you.
Wow.
Yes, it affects the Lord.
Oh.
So instead of having a rebound, like that, someone has left, a boy has left you, and you are crying, and you have a rebound, you go and cry on someone, BFF, boy, but go and cry on someone's shoulder, and then another thing also happens. When you are crying, cry before the Lord. The Lord has affection for you. You like what I'm telling you, don't like what I'm telling you. But understanding the fact that God likes you, and God is interested in you, okay, gives you a very great opportunity to relate well with him, which shows how your life will be. For instance, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Look at Ephesians 1, 4 and 5. It says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation. Can you imagine? God says he has chosen you before the world began, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Then he says, having predestinated us unto adoption of children or by Jesus. All these things mean something very nice. According to the good pleasure of his will. Then verse 6 says that, to the praise of the glory of his grace, okay, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Let's read other versions of this particular one. I want you to see, it says, you are accepted. God, you see, God has given us Jesus to take away sin, to bring in righteousness, to make us right with him, okay? And that gives us acceptance. Now we have acceptance with God. That's what I'm trying to explain now. See, I have acceptance with God. Yes, God accepts you. God accepts your prayer. God accepts even your nonsense. God says you are the best. In the midst of your nonsense, says you are the best. Yes. Can you imagine? So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us, who belong to his dear son. That's why he didn't say it well. He says, you are accepted. Can you show us other versions? He has freely given us, which he has freely given us, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Yes, we are accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in Christ. God accepts us. And because God accepts us, we now have access to God. Okay, tell me about, I now have access to God. You have access to God. You can have a chat with God. Spiritual education helps you with understanding how much God loves you. And that informs a lot. It lets you know you have value. You have what?
Value.
You have value. Can you imagine? God likes you. God likes you. And God wants you around him all the time. God likes seeing your face. Yeah. I'm accepted. Say, I'm accepted.
I'm accepted.
Say, I'm accepted.
I'm accepted.
Say, I'm special.
I'm special.
Have you read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 before? Let me show it to you. Let's read the Amplified. It's nicer in the Amplified. But you were a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people. You are God's own purchased special. God treats you like a jewel. You are his jewel. You are God. If you are God's jewel, do you think you will fail in your exam? Has God ever failed before? God has never failed. So if God says that you are his best and you are his jewel, what is exam? What is exam? Exam will not be a problem. Why are you worrying about your future? Will I get a job when I leave school? Will I get internship? Listen, sleep. Tell me about sleep.
Sleep.
Oh, da, da. I used to worry about my future. Like, is it going to, how are things going to be? When I saw some of these, I was like, ah, let me go to bed. God likes you. God says you are special to him. So treat yourself special.
Oh, yeah.
Eh? Treat yourself in a special way.
Oh, yeah.
Drugs does not make you special.
Oh.
You see, there are some friends who, like, oh, he makes me feel special. It's a lie. He's just using you now.
Yeah.
Or you don't know he's using you.
Yeah.
He's just using you.
Yeah.
Then you say, baby.
Yeah.
You know, ever since I saw you,
yeah,
my life has never been the same.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk, the way you talk to me, I like it. I love it.
And then your head is coming like this. There's someone who likes you and has given his life for you. He's better than this guy who is lying to you. He's lying to you. You know he's lying. God knows he's lying. Satan knows he's lying. The guy knows he's also lying. Yet you like it.
Oh.
What is wrong with you?
Oh. I'm chosen.
You are valuable to God. Tell everybody, you are
valuable to God.
God likes you. And God accepts you.
Yes. God is in your life to help you. You see, so he gave spiritual education. It's one of the main things the church offers. Do you see? And remember, spiritual education is useful for everything. Everything. Understand. The best aspect is understanding his love for you. If you understand his love for you, it will give you confidence in life. I tell you. Because if the greatest of all accepts you, what again are you looking for? The lecturer can say, go away, whatever. It's fine. That's him. And God has access to everybody. Now you have God's ears. Can you imagine you have God's ears? Yes, you have God's ears now. Oh, it's in the Bible. Romans chapter 5. We're just reading Romans chapter 5. We read verse 1. Let's read go to verse 1 and 2. Romans 5, 1 and 2. NLT. Let's read NLT. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Next verse. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into the place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. Have you seen it? He has brought us to a place of undeserved privilege. You have privileges that you naturally don't deserve. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. You are in a place. Let's read the King James. The King James says it in a sense. It says you have access. By whom also we have access. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We have access. We have access to God. You have God's ears. If you tell God, this lecture is worrying me. This lecture is worrying me. God, sort him out. You'll be surprised that God will sort him out. Do you believe it?
Yeah.
This understanding helps you in every aspect of your life. You went for an interview, they are trying to misbehave. They are not minding you, whatever. You can tell God, God, you say I'm accepted. You have accepted me. These people, they say they don't like me. They are rejecting me. God, please sort them out. You'll be surprised that they will call you and say, oh, you can come. Come, you are employed. You'll be surprised. Yes. All the struggles, it's because we don't understand how much God loves us. We don't understand how much his ears are open to hear us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. NLT, please. That this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. Can you imagine? That Jesus understands all your weaknesses. He faced all of the same, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet did not sin. Verse 16, then he says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. He says that you have access to God and therefore you should come boldly to God all the time. No matter what is going on, you can ask for whatever you want and it will happen for you. That's what the Bible is saying. Or you are not understanding the message. Message version of this verse, right? Message version. Let's read.
Now that we know what we have, Jesus, this high priest with ready access to God, let us not slip through our fingers. We do not have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He has been through weakness and testing, experienced all but the sin. So let's walk up to him and get what he is ready to give. Take mercy, accept the help.
So, it's the same. So, 15. She read, started reading from 15. Go to 15, please. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality, right? Can you imagine? Jesus is a high priest. He says he's not out of touch. He knows all the problems you have. Tell anybody, Jesus knows all the problems you have. Tell anybody, he's aware. He's aware. He's updated. He knows what you did last night. Tell anybody, he knows what you did last night. But he doesn't know it to destroy you. Do you get it?
It's fast.
Some people feel that, oh, he knows everything. He's jolly, but this guy is good. No, he knows all that you have done. But he knows it to help you. Are you seeing it?
Yeah.
Yes, he knows it to help you, not knows it to destroy you. Nyame waha. Nyame wofie. Nyame waha. Nyame wobe biara. Woye bonia obe hun obete. It's not biblical. It's not correct. It's not correct. God says he has blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Because of his son, Jesus Christ. Not because, if it was because of you, you would not be blessed. So if we were looking at you, if God was looking at you to bless you, you will not qualify. That's why he says he's looking at his son, Jesus Christ, and what he has done on the cross. And because you are in his son, you are now qualified. So you are qualified to have access to his ears because of his son, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You are qualified to be able to ask whatever and have confidence to receive from God because of Jesus Christ. That's why you should fall more in love with Jesus Christ. I don't know if someone paid for your release, if they put you in prison and someone came to come and pay, you were owing $5 million and this person came to pay $500 billion. For your release. Will you not like the person who came to release you? Yeah, you like him. You're having problems with Jesus Christ because you don't know how much he has paid for you. That's the reason. Because you've been told all your life that God does not like you. That God is watching you. God has got his eyes on you. If you like fool around, you see. Then some of us rebel. We don't care. Whatever God wants to do, he should do. We are tired. I will chill. I will booze. The hell will go. We and Michael Jackson will be there. So they are the rebellious ones, and then they are those who are fearful. Those who are afraid. They You see, so they are not doing bad things because they are afraid. They are afraid of what God will do to them. Both cases is not correct. God says, I accept you. I like you. You have access to me. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through witness and testing, experienced it all, but the sin. Next verse. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. He's giving mercy and giving help. He's there to give you help. See, I'm accepted. See, I have access to God. The next thing is I have assistance. You have God's assistance. Now God is ready to assist you in life. That's the help. You see?
Yes.
So God, don't think that God does not. God likes you. He's in your life to assist you to learn. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I have many things to tell you, but you know, you cannot hear them now. You cannot bear them now. That's in John chapter 16, verse 12. There's so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. Next, when the Spirit of truth comes, that's the Holy Spirit. He says he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all reality. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. The Holy Spirit is in your life to assist you concerning your future, your life, everything about you.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is called the Great Helper. Go to chapter 14, verse 16. John 14, 16 says, and I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate who will never leave you. Let's read the Amplified of this one. And I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. You see, the Father will give you another comforter. Counselor. But God is now, the Holy Spirit is God, if you don't know, I'm telling you. The Holy Spirit is God. He says, now you have access to God's counsel. You have access to God's comfort. You have access to God's help. You have access to God's intercession. You have access to God's advocacy. God is now your advocate. God is now your strengthener. And God is now your standby. God is ready to assist you in life. There was a king in the Old Testament. You know, the Bible says that he was mightily helped of God. And because he was mightily helped of God, he had inventions. He had all kinds of things. The greatest help you can get is the help of God. God will help you pass your exam. That's why someone's results was able to change from a C to an A. Yeah. 2 Chronicles 26, 15. Uzziah was going to church. He had a pastor. His name was Isaiah. Prophet Isaiah was his pastor. And he had so much success. Okay? So he says, moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate. Uzziah built fortified towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the angle in the wall. He could build. Why? Because he had assistance from God. Next verse. He also constructed forts in the wilderness and dug many water cisterns in the wilderness because he kept great herds of livestock in the foothills of Judah and on the plains. He was also a man who loved the soil. He had many workers who cared for his farms and vineyards, both on the hillsides and in the fertile valleys. Have you seen the things the guy had? Uzziah had an army of well-trained warriors ready to march into battle, unit by unit. This army had been mastered and organized by Jehiel, the secretary of the army, and his assistant, Maaseiah. You can call your son Maaseiah. Hallelujah. They were under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's officials. These regiments of mighty warriors were commanded by 2,600 clan leaders. Wild guys. The army consisted of 307,500 men, all elite troops. They were prepared to assist the king against any army. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Or you are not seeing what I'm saying? Next verse. Uzziah provided the entire army with shields, spears, helmets, coats of mail, bows, and sling stones. And he produced machines mounted on the walls of Jerusalem, designed by experts to shoot arrows and hailstones from the towers and the corners of the wall. His fame spread far and wide, for the Lord gave him marvelous help, and he became very powerful. See, I have marvelous help. The Holy Ghost is your advantage, I tell you. Now, you are in a place where God can assist you. To have, I don't know what it is that you want to do. Whatever you set yourself to do. You see, whatever the Lord, you understand, whatever the Lord says in your heart to do, he's there to assist you to accomplish it. Your education is the smallest. He's looking at a lot of things in your life to help you with. Okay? Say, I'm marvelously helped by God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I will never fail in my life. Yeah. That's what spiritual education does for you. It gives you knowledge of God's love. How that God has removed sin. He has sent his son Jesus Christ to remove sin, to bring in rightness. And hence, now you have peace with God. Now you are accepted before God. Now you have access to God. And now you have the assistance of God. You have the assistance of God. Yes. I have the assistance of God. Say it like you believe it. Maybe you just left school and are wondering how you'll be employed, what is going to happen. Sister, sleep. Go to bed. I have the assistance of God.
Yes.
I have the assistance of God. I have the assistance of God. I have the assistance of God. I'll never fail in my life. Success is mine. Hallelujah. Do you understand the message? The next major point was going to be knowledge of God's gifts for you in Christ Jesus. That's still under spiritual education.
Yes.
One of the things the house of God does for you is to give you spiritual education. Remember, the first aspect it educates you about is God's love for you. You see, that's what I've explained. The other part is, it educates you concerning all the good gifts that God has given to you in his son, Jesus Christ. For instance, one of the good things God has given to you in Jesus Christ is eternal life. You have the same quality of life that God had, that God gave to Jesus. Same quality of life. And that life does not fail. It does not fail. That life is a successful life. You see, John 3:16 once again says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but should have. So you get something by believing in his son. And what you get when you believe in his son is called eternal life. And God wants to be assured of the fact that he has given you that life. Meaning that you are not ordinary. Your life is not ordinary. What others fail with, you don't fail with. What happens to us? Sometimes people say, we don't know what will happen. Not me. I know what will happen. Have you forgotten the Holy Spirit reveals your future to you? Yeah, he reveals the future to you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. One of the blessings you have is that Christ is inside you. And because Christ is inside you, you have confident expectation of good only in your life. That's what it means when the Bible says Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's Colossians 1:27. It's the secret that has been hidden in times past, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The word hope is elpis. It means confident expectation. And the word glory is goodness, blessings, splendor, greatness. All the nice things you can think about. So it says that Christ in you, knowledge of the fact that Christ is in you, gives you confident expectation of good only in the future. So how is your next 4 years going to be? Only good. You will graduate. Or you don't want to graduate. There are some Christians who they think that anything, what will be, anything can happen. It's not like that. I have the best in life. Why? Because Jesus is in me. So the house of God offers you knowledge concerning the goodies, the good things that has been given. And look at Philemon 1:6. Paul talks to Philemon and prays that he will get to know. And he says, I pray that the communication or the sharing of your faith will become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So there are many good things which are in you in Christ Jesus that God wants you to get to know. And I just mentioned too, eternal life, Christ in you. Do you see? Yeah? Hallelujah. I'll never fail in my life. Success is mine. Why? Because Christ is in me. I have eternal life. Eternal life is the life of God. I will never be sick in my life. Why? Because Christ is in me. Are you getting it? Yes. The house of God. So it's an important, I don't know about you, but I feel the house of God is very important. Because what the house of God gives to you, you will not get anywhere else. Grace is not sold in any supermarket. Peace is not sold in any supermarket. These are all things that are in you in Christ Jesus. He says, I want you to acknowledge every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:12. Paul says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The Holy Spirit is in your life to help you know the things that are freely given to you of God. Do you see? That's one of the major reasons why he's in your life, to help you know the things, the good things that have been given. Peace of mind, for instance, has been given to you. Listen. The foundation of the kingdom of God is righteousness. Isn't it? Righteousness. When you understand the righteousness of how that God has accepted you in Christ, the next thing that happens is peace. That's what I'm saying in Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but the kingdom of God is righteousness. The foundation of the kingdom of God is righteousness. The more you understand the righteousness of God, how much God accepts you. Because your acceptance is so important. If you feel God as it's important to what I just mentioned, what I've said in the last part of the Bible, it's so important. You knowing how accepted you are with God brings you peace of mind. He says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace. Peace. Peace of mind. Peace of soul. Peace of pocket. Yes. Peace of pocket. If you know how much you accepted, money will not be a problem for you. Listen, money, as you are around, you understand that money is the spirit. Yeah. And you know that money gravitates towards those who accepted before God. Because Jesus had right standing with God. Jesus could order for money to come through a fish, and it came. Jesus could multiply bread, and it happened. Why can't those things happen for you? It can happen for you. And it will happen for you. Because you know that you are accepted with him. Because you are accepted with him, the whole world is yours. For the promise that Abraham should be the heir of the world was not to him and to his seed by the law or through the law, but by the righteousness of faith. Because of the right, if you know that you are accepted before God, you are righteous by faith, he says that the whole world is yours. Righteousness leads to peace and brings joy in life. Joy in the Holy Ghost. One of the major things God has given to us is joy. You can never be sad. Say, I'll never be sad in my life. Yeah. Well, these are all things that God has done for you in Christ Jesus. Okay? Eternal life. Christ is in you. The future is secured. My future is secured. Say, my future is secured. My husband is secured. My wife is secured. My grades are secured. My job is secured. Maybe you are here, you are looking for a job. You are looking for a job. Go out tomorrow, go and look for one. You'll get one. You will get your job tomorrow. God will surprise you. I'm accepted. I'll never be poor in my life. Prosperity is mine. And I'll never be sick in my life. One of the blessings that we have in Christ is the blessing of health. The blessing of health. Jesus was crucified so that you'll be healthy. Jesus was lashed for your health. On all levels. That's in 1 Peter chapter what? Chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter 2, 24. Look at this. It says, Jesus' own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, on the cross, so that we being dead to sins, can you imagine? It says that you are now dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. You are dead. The reason for being dead to sins is so that you can live unto righteousness. Not you are dead to sins and you continue to live in sin. No. You are dead to sin so that you can continue live in righteousness. Then it says, by whose stripes ye were healed. One of the blessings we have in Christ is that we have healing and we have health. Divine health. Say divine health. Divine health. You can live in divine health throughout your life. No sickness. That demonic thing that happens when you're about to write exams and then you fall sick. It will not happen in your life. I said it will never happen in your life. Or you're going for an important meeting and then all of a sudden you fall sick. Or something bad happens. Someone said to me, every time something good is coming to happen, then something bad will happen. Something will come up. Like it never really pulls through. Almost is the spirit of almost. Spirit of what? Almost. But that spirit does not have any right around you. Are you a child of God?
Yes.
That spirit was handled on the cross of Jesus Christ. It's not you. You can't. What are you talking about? I have everything. I'm blessed. I told that lady, listen, you have believed the wrong thing. That's right. I told you have believed the wrong thing. You have believed the wrong thing for many, many years. You should believe the fact that you are a child of God and that you were success. Everything about you is successful. Everything about me is successful. See, everything about me is successful.
Everything about me is successful.
Yeah. And when the devil brings a thought to you that it's not going to work, tell it will not work for you and your grandmother. Not me. You and your grandmother. You and your mother-in-law. What are you talking about? Yeah. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? Learn to address it. Sometimes the devil bring a thought to your mind. Has it happened to you before? You bring a thought to your mind. Hey, is this thing? Will it even happen? Don't do another thought. Like when he replies, don't do this. Like he gave you a thought and your head came to you. Don't reply like this. Reply with a word. Speak out. It will not happen for you and your grandmother. Someone will be standing by you and wonder, what are you saying? Don't worry, I'm handling the devil. Don't worry, I'm handling the devil. Tell me, but don't worry, I'm handling the devil.
Yeah.
It will not happen for you and your grandmother and your mother-in-law and your wife, not me. Hallelujah. And your choristers.
Yeah.
Hey!
Yeah.
What a blessing. Let me just walk you through the point so that the next major point, you see, I'm showing on what the house of God offers you. The first point under that was spiritual education. And I've shared two aspects, knowledge of God's love and knowledge of God's gifts, good gifts for you in Christ Jesus, isn't it? Now, the second point under what the house of God offers you is that it offers you a spiritual family. It offers you what? A spiritual family. A spiritual family. Apart from offering you spiritual education, it offers you a spiritual family. Spiritual education is for the purpose of giving you boldness and also giving you the opportunity to be with God, to fellowship with God. Fellowship with God is nicer than anything you can think about. That is why you can have money, you can have women, you can have booze, you can have cars, you can have what? Drugs, you can have everything, all those things. You can be a guy who sleeps with guys, sleeps with girls, and sleeps with animals, and sleep with everything that you can think about. You sleep with toys and all of that. And still not be satisfied. Because there's something in man. Okay, there's a need that man that is embedded in man that cannot be filled by anyone or anything apart from Jesus Christ. God is the one who put that space there. Only Jesus fills that space. So getting to know about the love of God for you allows for that space to be filled by the one who is supposed to fill it. That's Jesus Christ. Nothing else can fill it. And when that space is filled, you are okay. You may not have money. You may have money. You may not have some things, or you may have some things, but all those things do not mean anything. Jesus means all. Jesus said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. So you are not worried. I don't know if you get it. Jesus is real satisfaction. Without Jesus, you cannot have real satisfaction in life. Boys can't fill that space. Girls can't fill that space. A wife does not fill that space. A child does not fill that space. None of those people does. Only Jesus. And knowing how much you accepted allows Jesus to fill that space for you. Hallelujah. Yeah. The other thing was a spiritual family. The house of God offers you a spiritual family, which is so important. A spiritual family. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Look at Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Let's read other versions that the word household of God is actually family, God's family. It says, so now, this is NLT, so now you are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. So God has a family, and you become a member of God's family when you become born again. God is our Father, okay, and He has a family. The family, there's a part that is here on earth, and there's a part that is in heaven. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15. Look at Ephesians 3, 15. King James, please. Let's read 14 into 15 so we can understand it. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then it says, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. So there's a family in heaven and there's a family in the earth. The family members, our Father is God, right? And the members of the family are described as sheep. Psalm 100 verse 3. Look at Psalm 100 verse 3. Knowing that the Lord is God, it is He that has made us and not ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Have you seen it? He says, the one who created us. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us. He is the one who has made us. And not ourselves. He made us. Your father made you, right? Your natural father made you. No, be so. Your natural father is the one who brought you into this world. He brought you. He's a father of your flesh. There's a father of spirits. Eh? There's a father of flesh and there's a father of spirits. That's in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 17, I think. Keep your finger. Go to Hebrews 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us. So there are fathers of our flesh. Okay, that's your natural father. And we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Your God is a father of spirits. He's a father of your spirit, which is the real you. Are you seeing it? And the father of your spirit calls your spirit sheep. The creator of spirits calls all those He has created His sheep. You know that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us and not ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So you are a sheep as far as God is concerned. That's why you heard people say, my shepherd, my shepherd, my shepherd, my shepherd. Because in God has a family. And in that family, the members of the family are referred to as sheep. Jesus said it. My sheep know my voice. And they follow me, isn't it? John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So Jesus has sheep, and we are His sheep. Now, what does He do? He puts His sheep into families, and gives them someone to be over them. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. He says, I'll give you shepherds, or I'll give you pastors, according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Have you seen it? God gives us shepherds or pastors who feeds us with knowledge and with understanding. Ezekiel chapter 34. God was angry with the people He had called to keep His flock. Verse 11. He says, for this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search and find my sheep. Next verse. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep. This is God looking for His own children. He says, I'll find my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on that dark and cloudy day. Verse 13. I'll bring them back home to their own land of Israel. He's talking about Israel. He's talking about them as sheep from among the peoples and nations. I'll feed them on the mountains of Israel and by the rivers and in all the places where people live. Yes, I'll give them good pasture land on the high hills of Israel. There they will lie down in pleasant places and feed in the lush pastures of the hills. I myself will tend my sheep and give them a place to lie down in peace, says the sovereign Lord. But God is saying, I'm going to sort my people out. They are mine. Are you seeing it? How does God do it? He says, I will give them a shepherd. If you go down, you see, He says, I'll give them a shepherd. I'll make David their shepherd. So God gives you a shepherd. Okay? In the family of God, He gives shepherds. That's verse 23. It says, and I'll set, go to 22 so we can understand. So I'll rescue my flock and they will no longer be abused. I will judge between one animal and the flock of the flock and another. And I'll set over them one shepherd, my servant David. He will feed them and be a shepherd to them. Have you seen it? Yeah. The Lord gives you a shepherd. So the house of God offers you the opportunity of being shepherded because we are God's sheep. And it's so important. The way God takes care of us is through His shepherds. God gives us shepherds who will feed us, who will gather us, who will care for us, and who will lead and guide us. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10 and 11. Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. He says, God is coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. Verse 11. Then he says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. What the Lord does is to feed his flock. So the house of God offers you the opportunity of being part of a spiritual family where you are taken care of. Nobody is born into the world just like that. Everybody has a father. You didn't come through a tree. Did you come through a tree? Or you came through the earth? You were, as you were, whether then you came through the earth. There's not, it's only Elijah that teaches by took him. Like, we don't know where he came from. Hallelujah. Everybody is born by parents. You may know or not know them. Whatever it is, you were born by somebody. God is the one who gave birth to us into this world, spiritually speaking. Do you see? And he says that he takes care, parents have to take care of their children. God is a parent, and the way he takes care of his children is through something called shepherding. And shepherding is found in the house of God, not at your workplace. Your boss does not care if you have eaten or not eaten. Your boss does not, he doesn't care about a lot of things. Haven't you noticed? Does your boss care? Doesn't care about some things. Does your boss care about something?
At all.
Does he care when you have emotional problems?
No.
Admin, you're here. Does your boss care about your son?
Not at all. He doesn't know his name.
He doesn't know his name. Hey, how about you? Your boss cares about whether you are married or not.
Where's the report I get ready to do? That's all he cares about.
Where's the report? Even if you are sick, where's the report? Shepherding is not found out. It's nowhere. Your lecturer, no go shepherd you. That. But God has a way of caring for his people through something called shepherding. Gives you people who will help you to understand his word, to know who he is, to take care of you. So he says, they shall feed you. He said, I'll give you shepherds after my heart. This is Jeremiah 3:15 once again. I'll give you shepherds after my heart who will guide you with knowledge and understanding. I seen it. God gives us shepherds. As you have come to school, you need a shepherd. Everybody, you need a shepherd. Stand up if you're a shepherd. God is giving an opportunity for these people to care for. They didn't give birth to you. You didn't give birth. Have you given birth to any of these people? They didn't give birth to you. They are not your brother or your sister naturally. But God is giving them to you, all of us to you, to help you. You'll be surprised at the number of things that God will use these wonderful people to do in your life, as though they are the ones who give birth to you, as though they have been sent by the government to take care of you. You see that they are helping you emotionally. When you're failing your exams, they'll be there and help you and show you, give you confidence to do what you're supposed to do. Yes. When you're ill, they'll be there. You may be surprised that your boss may never visit you at the hospital, or he will come just once. You'll be surprised. But this is who will be there. All of us have been shepherded over the period. That's why we are where we are. So welcome to God's family. He's going to take care of you in a very special way. Hallelujah. Rise up upon your feet and let's thank God for what you have shared with us. For those of you who would like to teach the message and you want all the points, The next big point was divine purpose. The house of God offers you God's divine purpose. And then the next big point is that it offers you eternal rewards. So for those of you who would like to share it somewhere, I'm giving you the last two big points so you can develop it yourself. Okay? Yes. It offers you God's divine purpose. And the house of God offers you eternal rewards. It's a place where you can receive eternal rewards. Hallelujah. But I want you to just lift up your hand. Thank God for what I shared with you. I want you to ask God to give you a better understanding of Jesus Christ this morning. Thank Him for giving you a better understanding of Jesus Christ. Yes. Yes. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord in 2 minutes. Just 2 minutes. Talk to the Lord now. Talk to the Lord. Thank Him for bringing you the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Pray for more. Pray for more. More knowledge of Jesus. More knowledge of Jesus. More knowledge of Jesus. Pray that as you have come to school, those of you who have come fresh, that the Lord will help you. By the time you are ending your 4 years, you have a higher knowledge of Jesus. Those of us who are already here, thank God for a higher knowledge of Jesus. More, more, more of Jesus. More of Jesus. I am mightily helped. Thank God that He's mightily helping you. Remember that He's assisting you. Remember that He has removed your sin. He has made you right with Him. He has made you accepted in Him. And He's now assisting you. He's now assisting you in every sphere of your life. You have an advantage. I have an advantage. I have an advantage. I have an advantage. Success is mine. He's giving me eternal life. I will never fail in my life. Yes, success is mine on every side. Everything I touch turns to gold. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The path of the justice as a shining light. That shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. I'm shining on every side. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm shining on every side. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm shining on every side. In the name of the Lord Jesus. 1 minute more. I'm shining on every side. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The glory of God is resting upon me. Christ in me. The confident expectation of good only. Because Jesus is in me, I have confidence of the future. My future is perfect. My future is secured. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thou art with me. The Lord is with you. His rod and his staff is comforting you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank Him for bringing you into the spiritual family. Into a spiritual family. Thank Him that you are increasing from one level of glory to another because of the shepherds that He has provided for you. In the Nea, Palodai, Palagai, Legodosh, Abadabi, Izo, Baradidi, Gadabalo, Dabai, Leganamando, Ushabalabai. Father, we thank You. We give You glory for Your blessings and for Your goodness. Thank You for all that You have shared with us. Thank You that this week is blessed. This week is full of Your blessings on every side. Thank You that this week we are secure on every side. And thank You that this week we get to know Jesus even more. Thank You that our fellowship life, I pray for Your fellowship life with Jesus, that it will be higher than ever before this week in the name of the Lord Jesus. I pray for more knowledge of God's word to come to you, to flood you on every sphere of your life. And I pray that the quality of your life is increased in the name of the Lord Jesus. I pray for prosperity for you. Receive real prosperity this week in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I pray for healing as well. If there's any problem in your body, the Lord is touching your body right now. Healing is moving from within you to your body in the name of the Lord Jesus. I command that sickness to go away. I command that pain to leave now in the name of the Lord Jesus. I demand comfort in your body in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, thank You for healings. Thank You that ear that has been blocked is popped open right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank You for preservation for all of us, even in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. What a blessing. Give the Lord a shout.
God bless you for listening. We pray that the word of God will be rooted and grounded in your heart as you give attention to the word. Kindly follow Pastor T and Love Economy Church on all social networks for more of God's word. Don't forget to subscribe to the Pastor T podcast. Simply search for Pastor T on any podcast app, plug in, and enjoy God's word. Visit our website at loveeconomychurch.org for more information. God bless you.